Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed the time of prayer we had at the 8 o'clock yesterday, spontaneous though it was. That's simply because we prayed the truth. I said yesterday, you know, every time you get your eyes on the truth, your spirit is raised. Every time you get your eyes off the truth, you're in trouble. Amen. Paul says something very, very important. Well, he says a series of very important things here about the truth. We'll begin to read from verse 3. True, we live in this world, but we do not fight our battles as people who belong to the world. We have other weapons to fight with, not those of the world. By contrast, our weapons have God's power that shatters the enemy's strongholds that oppose us. With the weapon of truth, we demolish rational arguments that oppose the walk of faith. We have the answer to every false way of thinking that seeks to undermine the truth about God. We exercise authority in the way we think, denying negative or rebellious thoughts, and accepting only those that glorify Jesus so that we might obey him. But we must be prepared to punish those who refuse to obey, so that as a church we might be united in obedience. Wow, that's a bit awesome, isn't it? But it shows how to Paul it was so important that everybody was living in and walking in the truth. Now, Watchman Nee, I was reminded the other day when I was praying, gave a wonderful example of walking in the truth. Faith was walking along the top of a wall. That's something all kids like to do, isn't it? You probably like to walk across the top of a wall when you were younger. Probably some of you still do. But in front of him was truth, was Jesus, the word of truth. Behind him were facts and experience. Remember, facts are what happened, but facts can change. Truth is unchangeable. So as he walked along this wall with his eyes on the truth, he was fine. But every time he looked back on facts and experience, he wobbled and then fell off. It's a very simple illustration, but very profound. So long as you keep your eyes on the truth, you will walk on the narrow way. And let's face it, the top of a wall is usually a narrow way. Very easy to fall off if you look back. Jesus even said, those who look back are not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God can only advance through the gospel, through the truth. This week, the Discipleship Academy is beginning in the church. We want people to live as disciples so they can make disciples. But you can only make disciples if you live as a disciple, and you can only live as a disciple if you're walking in the truth. Those of you in the second year in our direct counseling, what is the essence of direct counseling? You are counseling people with the truth. And in all the various situations that people come when they're expressing some kind of need in their lives, We've discovered already that always their problem is a problem to them because they've taken their eyes off the truth. And they're looking back at experience. They're looking at their feelings, at their emotions, which is all part of experience. They're just looking at the facts of what has happened instead of keeping their eyes on the truth. So, of course, when people come seeking some kind of counsel or advice, they're wobbling. If they were walking steadfastly in the truth, they wouldn't be there presenting their need to you. Are we at the same meeting here?
Yes.
So we've seen that it isn't a question of taking people back into their past and raking over their past, and because you will never find the answer to your situation in the past, ever. The answer is always in the truth, because Jesus is the truth. And so we've seen that in direct counseling, what we are aiming to do is to get people's focus back on the truth. Or if their focus has never been there, to put their focus, to show them how to put their focus on the truth, because knowing the truth sets you free. It doesn't matter what situation, doesn't matter what you've been through, you are set free by the revelation of the truth. Now, the truth is not, you see, the truth of what has happened to you. Those are facts. The truth is Jesus. The truth is His Word. The truth is that Word that is brought to us by the Spirit, because the Spirit of truth and the Word of truth always work together. And Jesus said that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all the truth. He would take the things of Jesus and declare them to us. Now, we are all in a spiritual battle. Out there in the world, people do not live by the truth. There is a lot of spiritual blindness. There is a lot of deception. There are a lot of things that are opposed to the truth. But Paul is saying, we have spiritual weapons. These weapons can pull down strongholds. But he's saying the most powerful and important weapon that we have is the truth. The truth is your main spiritual weapon. So when Paul is talking to the Ephesians, he talks about the shield of faith, which counters all the fiery darts of the evil one, but then the offensive weapon that you have in your hand is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the truth.
Yes.
Your offensive weapon is the truth. Now, the devil is opposed to the truth. He is the father of lies. He is the deceiver of the brethren. He is the accuser. Whereas those who are walking in the truth, for them there is no accusation. Now, let's see what the Word says about us, the truth about you. Well, the truth is that you are forgiven. The truth is that God has had mercy upon you. And no matter what you have done, what your past, what your history, what the facts, what your experience, you are forgiven. Don't get too excited because it's Tuesday. You have been redeemed. Jesus has paid the price for you, so you belong to Him. Because you are redeemed, he has set you free from your past. The old has gone. Even yesterday has gone. You don't even look back on yesterday. Your focus is on the truth. There's nothing you can do about yesterday. If you got anything wrong yesterday, you only have to say, Lord, forgive me. He blots out the transgression, and that thing no longer exists. In all eternity, it no longer exists. You don't have to worry about tomorrow, Jesus says, because each day has enough cares of its own. You've got enough to get on with today. So you don't look back on yesterday. You don't even have to worry about tomorrow. You've got day as God's gift to you today to walk in the truth today. Are you breathing?
Yes.
So you stand, according to my Bible, before God today, blameless. Innocent. You see, when you're forgiven, what happens? God declares you innocent because he carried your guilt. I think it's one of the translations, I think it's the Living Bible, that says that when God forgives, he declares you not guilty. And you know, you can say, well, Lord, I was guilty. But if you've confessed your guilt, Jesus has carried your guilt, and he says, not guilty. So the Word of God says that because you have been redeemed, because you are saved, you live in Christ. And there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. So there's no condemnation as you stand blameless before God today. This is the truth. This is the gospel. And here at Kingdom Faith, we contend for the gospel and nothing less than the full truth of the gospel. Because only the gospel will set people free. Get your eyes off the gospel and you're in trouble. Because you've either got your eyes on yourself or the past. And you're a boring subject. Jesus is exciting. Even the good things of yesterday were yesterday's good things. And what God wants is today's good things. He wants to do us good every day. As you know, I've been doing this topical subject thing for the Truth Bible. These last months, and one of the words is goodness. I think it's almost got as more pages in that subject than any of the other 149. There is so much in the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, about the goodness of God and the goodness that he wants to impart to our lives. I was amazed, actually, when I started doing it, to discover just how much there is about his goodness. So God's purpose is that today we're living in his goodness. Amen. How do you live in his goodness? You walk in the truth. You keep your focus on Jesus. Amen? So we live each day for itself, for the Lord. Knowing that we stand guiltless, blameless, saved, redeemed, forgiven, in Christ. This is the truth. Now, there can be all kinds of pressures where other people can say to you, look back. You have to be absolutely resolute and determined and say, no, I'm not looking back. I'm walking in the truth today and every day. I refuse to look back. What is past, and the greatest thing about the past is that it's behind me. I can't relive it. I can't do anything about it. If I've done anything wrong, I'm forgiven. If I did anything right, God is glorified, and to him be all the praise. But what matters is today. Am I walking in the truth today? If I'm walking in the truth today, I'm not looking back. See, the enemy always wants to say, look back. Hallelujah. But we saw with the rug, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Remember the rug, and we're working according to God's plan. The rug's moved on in 2 weeks. We've done a bit more. The plan is being fulfilled. But you see, you have to look at the next hole all the time. Look forward. It's no use looking back, because looking back on what you have done is not going to accomplish anything for what you need to do. Now, God has given us the truth to guide us as we move forward, and the Spirit of truth to enable us, to empower us in that walk. Are you there? So we've got everything going for us. The enemy can shoot all his fiery darts at you. But if you are walking in the truth, you've got the shield of faith to quench all those fiery darts. He can't get up on that wall, because that wall is the highway of holiness. Now, God has told me this morning to ask you a question. And of course, if a question comes from God, it's a biblical question, because the Spirit always leads us into the truth of the Word. And the question is this: what do you see? Now, where does that question come from? Well, it comes from Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah received his call from God to be a prophet to the nations. And then after those initial verses, the next thing that God says to him is, Jeremiah, what do you see? Now, what do you see? You see, the answer to that is always, well, it depends where you look. If you look back, you're going to see the past. If you look in, you're going to see all kinds of insecurity. But if you look at the truth, you're going to see Jesus. I'll try that one again. If you look back, you're only going to see the past. If you look in, you're going to see the problems. But if you look at the truth, you're going to see Jesus. Now, how can we teach others to do that if we don't do it ourselves? You see, when you disciple people, what you're saying is, come up on this wall and walk with me. I'm walking on this wall, and I'll teach you and help you and encourage you to walk on this wall with me. I'll show you how to keep your eyes on the truth and not look back, not look in, not get filled with all kinds of insecurity. So, of course, you can only make disciples if you live as a disciple. You can only enable others, show others how to walk in the truth, if you walk in the truth yourself. In the direct counseling, one of the things we were doing earlier in the term was seeing how to counsel, how to help seriously hurt people. I mean, really seriously hurt people. Now, their history, and I told you of one who was brought up as a Satanist and put into prostitution by her parents to, as a teenager, to lure men into prostitution, and how her baby was taken from her when she got pregnant for sacrifice. And I mean, really, really, you're not likely to get very much worse than that dear young lady experienced. Taught to hate and to curse, and taught that love was an illusion and didn't really exist. Now, how do you get a person like that walking on the wall? Well, they've got a lot of grot that needs to be brought out of darkness into the light. But as soon as it's in the light, you help them to bring it to the cross. Once it's been brought from the cross, you never, ever, ever, ever let them speak of those things again.
Right.
They've gone. And if when you're helping them, they start to go back over what they've already brought to the cross, you immediately stop them. Stop! I'm not listening. That no longer exists. That has already been dealt with. And I told you how that young woman, only weeks, about 3 weeks after she came to her, got saved, and that was a process. I can't go through the whole story. But after 3 weeks, she was kidnapped and seriously tortured by I've never told anybody what they did to her. Never ever told a soul, because it's so terrible. What the Satanists were trying to do was to get her to deny her faith in Jesus. Now, she'd been a Christian just for 3 weeks, coming out of the most abysmal background I have ever, in the whole of my 48 years of ministry, ever heard anybody describe. She refused, in the face of that torture, to deny Jesus. Why? Because even in 3 weeks, she was walking on that wall in the truth. Even after the horrendous background that she'd come out of, she had been set free by the truth, was walking in the truth, and refused to deny the truth. She expected them to kill her, because she knew that's what they would normally do for anybody that defected from them. Instead, they just drove her to a remote spot and dumped her. And she found her way back, and we had a Christian doctor who nursed her back to health, with much prayer, of course. But you see, that's the power of the truth. She was right in the enemy's stronghold. These were the chief Satanists in this whole area. And right in that stronghold, she discovered her weapon was the truth. And no matter what they did to her, and it was horrendous, no matter what they did to her, she refused to deny the truth. She refused to go back. You see, what were they trying to do? What the enemy always tries to do: turn back, come back, look back. But I tell you, I mean, if you knew really the situation in that young woman's life, whatever problems you've had are like dust by comparison. You know, just a little bother. But the power of the truth in those few weeks, and within 3 months of coming to us, she was traveling with me as part of the ministry team that I had then. She was giving a testimony, and hundreds of people were coming to the Lord. She had to be very careful about what she said in her testimony. But just, and then, you know, it came right not for her to give her testimony about the past, but just to testify about the goodness of God in her life now. And people still came to the Lord. And she became a worker in children's, and she still is. My wife, a little while ago, saw her at an event. Wonderful how God can transform lives through the truth. See, this is the power of the truth. But of course, we have to walk in it. That's the whole thing. Now, turn to Psalm 18. You see, knowing the truth sets you free. Sets you free from the past. Sets you free from the enemy. Sets you free from deception. Sets you free from condemnation. Sets you free from guilt. Sets you free from fear. Hallelujah. I'm a happy boy this morning. I don't know about anybody else. I'm happy. Because I'm living in the truth. And we contend for the truth here. We won't have anybody here looking back. Why? Because Paul says it's so important for the whole body to be moving forward in unity in the truth. Obedient to the truth. Because, of course, as soon as you get your eyes off the truth, you start to be disobedient to the truth. You start to believe something else that isn't the truth. That's the danger, isn't it? Okay, I'm in Psalm 18 somewhere or other. Verse 28, we'll start. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. Why? Because his word is a light to my feet. So when I'm walking on this wall, it is the narrow way. You're going to see a good thing in a moment. It is the narrow way, but that word of truth will give light to my feet to show me where to walk next. Listen, the light is on my feet. It's not behind me. There's no light behind me. The lamp of the word of God is on my feet to show me where to walk next. Are you there? O Lord, keep my lamp burning. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. You see, you may not see all the way ahead. You may have a vague idea of God's plan and so on. But the word will give you the light to see the dark. You won't be walking in darkness. Jesus says that, doesn't he? You're the children of light. You're not the children who walk in the darkness. Walk in the light while you have the light. Yes? So the word of God enables you to do that. With your help, I can advance against a troop. It doesn't matter who comes against me, how many come against me, how much opposition there is from the enemy. I can advance. I don't stop. I don't back away. You can't walk backwards on this wall. The Lord gave us revelation, didn't he, a couple of years ago, that he is the mighty warrior. And he said that as the mighty warrior, he would go ahead of us, but we had to advance. If we advanced, he would go ahead of us and clear the way. So with his light on our feet, we can advance against a troop. I said we can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. I'm walking along this wall and there's another wall that comes in the way. I can get over that. As for God, his way is perfect. What is his way? It's the way of the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Walk along my way in the truth and you will have life. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. The truth is flawless. You look back and you'll see a lot of flaws in your experience, in the facts. But you look at the truth of God's word, it's flawless, it's perfect. Revives the soul. Amen. He is a shield. You see, when you're on that wall with him, you're protected. It doesn't matter who says what or does what or opposes you or comes against you or fires arrows at you. You are under his shield. You see, the shield of faith is him. You take hold of that shield of faith and he parries everything that comes against you. So he is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. How does he make my way perfect? Because if I walk in the word, I am walking in what is perfect, in what is complete, in what is a truth, in what sets me free and enables me to live in freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Karasatapakarasitopa. Come on. This is so good. This is so, so, so good. I don't mind saying it myself. This is so good because it's God's word. Because it's the truth. Hallelujah. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. Where's this way, this wall, if you like, but this way on which I'm walking that is perfect? Well, it's going higher and higher and higher with God. Hallelujah. And the higher you go with God, the more you look down on the situation instead of feeling a victim of the situation. You preach it, Colin. He trains my hands. Well, I thought I'd give the interpretation because nobody else did. He trains my hands for battle. So there's going to be some battles along the way, right? But what are the battles going to be with? That which opposes the truth. That which is not the truth. But listen, the truth always wins. Because the truth is Jesus. Yes. He is the truth and he cannot be defeated. Yes. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. I don't know if you understand the significance of that. I don't do any archery. But I'm told, and especially, you know, in the days of, in British history, back in the 15th century, that kind of time, the longbow was the great weapon in the British Army. This is how they won battles. I won't say against who, because we've got some of those be defeated here. But it required tremendous strength to pull back this bow. So much so that every man, every Sunday, had to be trained and had to have experience And from the time that they were children, they were taught this bow because it took so much strength to pull it back, but it could fire longer than any other bows, which of course gave them advantage over their enemies because they could fire on them before the enemy could fire back. But it took a lifetime of training and of fitness to be able even to pull that bow back. Now, that was just a wooden bow. Here, the scripture's talking about a bow of bronze. What would it take to pull back a bow of bronze? Wow. But what does it say? My arms can bend a bow of bronze. Now, what does the bow enable you to do? Shoot back at the enemy. Not just take the shield of faith to defend yourself, but you've got a bow to shoot back. And if the longbow gave you greater advantage because you could fire an arrow further, what would a bow of bronze do? Watch out, enemy. You better not come anywhere around here. You're just about to get nailed. Praise God. You give me your shield of... of what?
Victory.
Of what?
Victory.
Of what?
Victory.
Wow. This narrow way, this wall, is the way of victory. But remember, you fall off if you look back. And if you fall off, there's no victory. Hello? Why? Because you make yourself vulnerable to the enemy on this highway of holiness that Isaiah talks about in chapter 35. See that no lion or wild beast can get up there, no devil or demon can get up there. But you get off that narrow way and you make yourself vulnerable. And let me tell you, the enemy will always take advantage of vulnerability. He just waits. He's like a roaring lion, prowling around, seeking someone to devour, seeking the one who gets his eyes off the truth, falls off the wall, and becomes vulnerable. Are you breathing?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Your right hand sustains me. Oh, come on. Your right hand. What does that mean? You're not walking on this alone. I mean, he's got his hand upon you. You're hand in hand with Jesus while you're walking on that narrow way. Are you there? Puratapariyazatapakarasitapa. So your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. God wants to make you great. But listen, you're not going to be great looking back. You're not going to be great falling off the wall. You're not going to be great losing the victory. You're going to be great because you've got a bow of bronze. And he's got hold of your hand. And he's taking you along this narrow way. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 36. Yes, yes, yes. Look at verse 36. Just look at verse 36. You see, when you're walking on that narrow way and you're walking in the truth, it doesn't seem narrow because he broadens the way beneath your feet. Wow! Is that good or is that good? Now you say, Pastor Colin, that's great! Because it's the Word of God, it's the truth. Hallelujah. I love this song, don't you? Actually, I love all the Psalms. The Psalms are amazing. You know, in the 4 years of theology I did at university, there was only one sensible thing they asked me to do. I write a thesis on the doctrine of God in the Psalms. That was the best thing I ever did at university. I got into the Psalms like I'd never got before. But you, I mean, if you ever want something to do on a rainy afternoon, just begin to write a thesis on the doctrine of God in the Psalms, of what the Psalms tell you about God. And I'll tell you, your faith will go through the roof. It is absolutely amazing. Because there's more revelation, really, about the nature of God in the Psalms than there is in the New Testament. The New Testament's focused on what God has done for us in Jesus and all the wonderful truths about salvation. But if you want actually to know who God is and all about God, just look at the Psalms. They're absolutely packed full of doctrine of the truth about God. Hallelujah. So that's it really. But we'll just read a few more verses because you obviously want to. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. You walk in victory. Hallelujah. So the great thing, beloved, is this. You're walking on the narrow way. The narrow way is the truth. God broadens that way beneath your feet because he doesn't want you falling off. He doesn't want you looking back. He doesn't even want you looking in. He wants the Word of God to be a lamp for your feet. Yes, amen. He wants you just to watch where you're walking today and tomorrow in the truth, 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 the truth. And if you walk in the truth, you walk in freedom. If you walk in the truth, you walk in victory. If you walk in the truth, you walk in life. Hallelujah. So, you know, making resolutions doesn't actually do the job. But you don't actually do the job if you don't make resolutions. You have to determine what you're going to do. So what I believe God would have us all do this morning is to make this resolution to come to this position to be determined, I'm going to walk in the truth. The Word of God will be a lamp to my feet. He will broaden this path beneath my feet, and I will refuse, categorically refuse, to look back. Because even glancing back makes you wobble. And okay, you can, if you wobble, you can correct it if you get your eyes back on the truth. But I don't know about you, I don't even want to wobble. I want my steps to be firm every day. I'm going to walk in the truth, and I am firmly resolved. I don't mind who says what, does what, whatever the enemy brings against me or anything. I am not going to look back. That's been the truth ever since I knew the gospel and understood the gospel. That's what I've taught people all these years through my ministry. Because what I've perceived is as soon as people look back, they're in trouble. They lose the freedom, they lose their joy, they lose their victory. And all they do is end up feeling sorry for themselves. So praise God, we've got a glorious future. And just finally, you see, there are three things that abide: faith, hope, and love. All three of those can only be truly expressed in your life if you walk in the truth. Faith keeps its eyes on the truth. Hope is that which is set before you because you're walking in the truth. And love is only possible because you don't keep record of wrongs. You don't look back, but you're loving today because today is the only day you've got. Until tomorrow comes. Amen. So faith, hope, and love abide. They remain. But you live in them because you walk in the truth. Come on, let's stand. I would have to say, these last few days, I've had some real challenges. You know, it's often the same, isn't it, that you find that you have your best times with God in the times of challenge. Yes? I mean, I've had some simply amazing times with God. You can probably tell, actually. Because, you know, when you do, it all comes out, doesn't it? It all boils over. You can't contain it. You can't keep it in. But the reason for that is simply that I've kept my focus on the truth. Yes. Right, now, close your eyes, because we've still got this question. What do you see? Now, you see, this is an interesting question when we pray. Do you see darkness because you've closed your eyes? Or do you see Jesus on the throne? Are you looking at the glory? Are you standing before the throne of grace, where there's mercy and grace to help you in your time of need? What do you see? Even when you pray, it's important to know what you're looking at. Because if you don't look at Jesus, I guarantee you'll look at yourself. And if you look at yourself when you pray, you're praying to yourself. It might sound spiritual, but actually it doesn't get beyond you. Now, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Now, see yourself walking on that narrow way with your eyes ahead of you, fixed on Jesus. Thank Him that according to the Word, He has placed you. You didn't get there yourself. He has placed your feet on that way. The Lord of glory, place your feet there. The Lord of glory goes before you. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He goes before you. His word is a lamp to your feet. And as you obey that word, as you live in the revelation of the truth, He broadens that narrow way beneath your feet so you will not stumble, you will not slip, but you will walk securely, boldly, confidently in the truth. See yourself with the eyes of faith, with that kind of a walk. Hallelujah. Thank Him that the past is behind you. No longer exists. The bad things, the good things, they're all history. Hallelujah. What's needed to be forgiven, He's forgiven and has declared you not guilty, has made you blameless, innocent in His sight. So you don't have to listen to any of the accusations or lies or deception of the enemy. Because you're walking in the truth. The way is broadened and you are secure. God is enabling you to walk on the heights. He's raising you up. Because only the humble can walk on that way. The proud disobey the word and they look back and they do this and that and the other and everything else. But you are humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. You're humbling yourself before the word of God. You're humbling yourself and you're saying, I believe your word, Lord. I don't believe my thoughts. I don't believe... Because the truth abolishes, as Paul says, all the reason, all the other arguments that are ranged against the truth. No, only the truth prevails. The truth is the mighty weapon. So thank the Lord that you're walking on that way with this great spiritual weapon of the truth. that you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the Word of truth. Hallelujah. Thank Him that your arms can bend a bow of bronze. The enemy doesn't have any answer to the truth. Hallelujah. Pura la bazataria lerabakara situri satuba. Balandaria zatupara situri saratu bakara situ. Bazandaria lerabakara situri sataria lerabakara situ. Bazataria lerabakara situri sarataria lerabakara situ. Bazandaria lerabakara situri satu. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pura la bazataria lera bakara sita. Bazandaria lera bakara sita risarato parasato. Bazandaria lera bakara sita risataria lera bakara sita. Paparazataria lera bakara sita. Now, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Just listen to some of the words we read right at the beginning. With the weapon of truth, we demolish rational arguments that oppose the walk of faith. So just praise the Lord that you abolish every area of thinking that would oppose your walk in the truth. You abolish, you obliterate all those things now. The only thing that matters to you is the truth. Pararabazataria lera bakarasitu risato. Bazataria lera bakarasitu risato palasanto. Borata para zatari alera bakara sita. Bala tapari aleto bakara sita. Risaratari alera bakara sita. Bazandari alera bakara sita. Risatori aleto bakara sita. You're going to resist all temptation, no matter where it comes from, to undermine the truth. You're going to walk in the truth. The word continues, we have the answer to every false way of thinking that seeks to undermine the truth about God, about what He has done, about our salvation, about our position in Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, rasata parazito pa. Bora taparia zato bukarazito pa. We have the answer to every false way of thinking. What's a false way of thinking? Look back. Look in. What's the right way of thinking? Fix your eyes on Jesus. See where you're going. What do you see? I see Jesus walking ahead of me, leading me in the truth. I see the Word of God being a lamp to my feet. I see God broadening the path beneath my feet. I see the shield of faith in place against all the fiery darts of the enemy. I see I can bend a bow of bronze and I can fire back and I can overcome the enemy. I see it. I see it. Palalala bazatari alera bakara sita risato. Now just listen to the word again. We exercise authority in the way we think. Do you understand that your mind is your own responsibility? You have the responsibility to keep your mind clear of negative, destructive, unbelieving, condemning, accusing thoughts, either about yourself or about anybody else. We exercise authority in the way we think, denying negative or rebellious thoughts. What's a rebellious thought? That which opposes the Word of God. It's not saying that you're a rebel or you're in rebellion or anything like that, but a rebellious thought is that which denies the truth. Because you see, the Word is the Word of God, and therefore is the Word that has His authority. Do you remember when Peter disagreed with what Jesus said at Caesarea Philippi? Jesus looked him straight in the eye and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, you know, Peter wasn't a rebel, but at that moment he was being rebellious. He quickly got things sorted out with Jesus. But it wasn't the last time that he needed to get things sorted out with Jesus. But then we're all like that, aren't we? We exercise authority in the way we think, denying negative and rebellious thoughts and accepting only those that glorify Jesus so that we may obey him. Now, come on, this is where you need to make a determined decision now. Now, making the decision isn't doing the business, but you've got to make the decision before you can do the business. Right, I'm taking authority over my mind. I have responsibility for what I allow to remain in my mind. And I deny every negative thought, every lying thought, every accusing thought, every rebellious thought, any thought of mine that opposes the Word of God, that opposes the truth. Because I am resolved, I am determined to walk on this way with Jesus, with my eyes fixed upon Him. I see with the eyes of faith that I am walking forward, I am advancing with the Lord. His Word is a lamp to my feet. Hallelujah. I have the shield of faith. He is my shield because He is my refuge. And I will not accept any negative thought. I will not have any negative attitude in my mind. I will not allow the enemy to have any strongholds in my thinking in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But I firmly resolve to keep my eyes looking at the Word, looking at the truth, believing the truth, so that what goes on in my mind glorifies Jesus. Hallelujah. What goes on in my mind, what I allow in my thinking, glorifies Jesus so that I might obey Him. Purataparia letu bakara sitri satuba. Vazataria letu bakara sitri satuba kara sitri. Come on, thank the Lord now. This is His enabling grace, isn't it? This is His enabling grace. This is His enabling grace. This is His enabling grace. Bazandaria leroba karasitri satuba.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, thank the Lord that He's set you free. The truth has set you free. And He's called you to be free. He's called you to walk in that freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord that you walk in faith. You walk in love. Why? Well, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You'll obey my word. You'll walk in my word. You'll walk in the truth. So you're walking in the faith, you're walking in love, and you're walking in hope. Hallelujah. These three things abide. Purata parazatara basi. I think we just need to spend a couple of minutes just rejoicing in the Lord, don't you? Come on, let's just lift our hands. Let's just praise Him. Just praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Palala basataria lera bakara sitri satu. Basataria lera bakara sitri satu. Basandaria lera bakara sitri sataria lera bakara sita. Basandaria lera bakara sitri sataria lera bakara sita. Balandaria lera bakara sitri sataria lera bakara sitri satu. Basandaria lera bakara sitri satu. Basatari alero bakara sitri satu. Balandari alero bakara sitri satari alero bakara sita. Come on, Jesus. Balatari alero bakara sitri satu. Balatapari alero bakara sitri saratu bakara sita. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Purata parazata parazatuba. Balata parazata parazituba. Bazatari alero bakarazituba. Oh. Thank you, Lord, that it's only by your grace, with your mercy, that we can walk in this way. But thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. And even in our weakness, we have your power, your enabling. And thank you, Lord, that we no longer have to look back on any wobbles, because our past is behind us. And we're walking forward now with confidence, with boldness, with freedom, with joy, to glorify you, to praise you, and to honor you. And thank you, Lord, that as we walk in the truth, we are going to make many disciples. Others will come and walk alongside us, walk with us, and we'll show them how to do it. Thank you, Lord, that as we do it, we can show others how to do it. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Glory be to your wonderful name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.